You are listening to CEO Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to this episode of CEO Perspectives, a signature webcast and podcast series by the Conference Board. CEO Perspectives take an objective, nonpartisan look at a range of topics that matter most to business leaders. In this series, we'll sit down with experts and do what we do best at the Conference Board, provide trusted insights for what's ahead. I'm Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board and the host of this series. And in today's conversation, we're going to explore how global business leaders are adjusting to the economic fallout from the war in Ukraine. We're going to talk about everything from inflation to supply chain to cyber threats. To find out what's going on, we recently surveyed 750 CEOs from around the world, as well as other C-suite executives. And they shared their priorities, their plans, and their worries as we confront this new era of geopolitical risk and economic uncertainty. Joining me today to discuss all of this is Dana Peterson, the chief economist at the Conference Board. Dana, welcome.
Hi, Steve. It's always great to be here.
So Dana, this was a mid-year update of our big study with largely CEOs from around the world. But just for our listeners, give a brief explanation of how the survey is done and with whom.
Sure. Well, the thing is that the reason why we're doing this mid-year update is because the last time we fielded the survey was in November of last year, and so much has changed. And so we decided to ask 16 questions over the period of May 10th through May 24th to, as you said, 750 respondents, many of them, more than half of which are CEOs. And we asked them about the conflict in Ukraine and how that's affecting their businesses. But we also asked them about growth options, government policy concerns, and human capital management issues in this new environment of extreme volatility and uncertainty.
Yeah. So big results here because, you know, I think at the beginning of the year or at the end of last year, people were, you know, fairly positive, but, you know, Ukraine happened at the end of February and now CEOs have become more pessimistic, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
And so talk about the economic outlook changes based on, you know, what the CEOs are telling us.
Sure. Well, we've had to repeatedly downgrade our forecast since the war in Ukraine started. And certainly even last week, we've had to rethink our forecast for the United States. And a lot of it has to do with the supply chain disruptions that we've experienced, not only from China's shutdowns of their economy during the pandemic, but also the disruptions from the war, higher inflation, and also how central banks are reacting with raising interest rates to combat inflation. All that's creating greater uncertainty. It's eroding confidence among consumers and businesses, as well as investors. And so we're expecting that there's going to be very slow global growth over the course of this year and especially next year.
And so what did the CEOs tell us about their predictions on a recession?
Well, 73% of all respondents and 76% of CEOs believe that their economy is either in a recession now or will go into recession over the next 12 to 18 months in their region. And so, you know, fold that all together, that suggests that many are expecting that there could even be a global recession.
Yeah, and this is a big change, and it's being driven, what, mostly by developed economies?
Well, yes. So definitely the U.S. we're expecting is going to have a mild recession in the first half of next year. We're expecting weaker growth in China, reflecting the fact that they're having a hard landing potentially in their housing market, but also because they are big traders with the U.S. So slower U.S. demand means slower Chinese exports. Also in Europe, we do have recessions in Russia and Ukraine, but overall we're expecting weakness among a number of economies, especially Germany and the UK.
Yeah, and that could, you know, could even slide into recessionary territory based on what could happen here, you know, in the coming months. And, you know, fuel is energy prices are skyrocketing, and, you know, the central bank there, you know, may have to take more aggressive action.
Yes, already the Bank of England has been raising interest rates pretty steadily. And also the ECB, which governs much of Europe, is also starting to raise interest rates and dial down the size of its balance sheet. And that has negative implications, not only for consumption and investment, but also in terms of sovereign debt. There are a number of economies that have really outsized debt. And so if interest rates are rising, that's going to put pressure on them. We could potentially even see another sovereign debt crisis in Europe.
Yeah, you know, no two recessions are the same, obviously. And so it's always hard to take, you know, past experience and bring it forward. But it was surprising to me that the CEOs reacted the way they did. I mean, you can't get 76% of CEOs to agree on, you know, whether the sky is blue and the grass is green, you know, so that's as close to consensus as you can possibly get. But the reason was not so much, you know, a banking issue or a housing issue, but this time it was based on, you know, the Fed's ability to create a soft landing, right?
Well, I mean, certainly that's in the U.S. There's a big concern about whether or not the Fed can tackle inflation to the ground without causing a recession. And certainly it seems that the Fed is willing to raise rates into what's being called restrictive territory. So anything Fed funds above 3% in order to address inflation. And that means that you're going to have a material slowing in the U.S. economy and even have some negative prints next year.
Yeah. And, you know, even if, you know, and this doesn't happen where everything's great and then all of a sudden it's a recession and then everything's great again. I mean, there are shoulder periods. And, you know, you've described that as stagflation, you know, and so talk about the risk. We didn't get into that deeply, but talk about the risk of stagflation before and after.
Sure. Even before the Fed took an even more hawkish turn last week, when we looked at our forecasts, we had very low growth and still high inflation at the end of this year and into next year. And so certainly, even before we had this forecast of a mild recession, we did have a stagflationary environment. And certainly stagflation over a very long period of time is just as bad, maybe even worse than a brief recession.
Yeah, and you're defining that as, share your definition of stagflation.
Sure. For the U.S., any inflation that's above, notably above the Fed's 2% target. So by the end of this year, we still have inflation at, you know, something like 4%. Meanwhile, growth that's, you know, below potential, and potential growth is around 1.8%. So our forecasts were already signaling that kind of environment even before we downgraded.
So even if you had inflation at 2-3%, which is well below where it is today, and growth of, you know, call it closer to 1%, I mean, that's going to feel pretty slow and, you know, ponderous for our economy.
Absolutely, for the U.S., yes.
Yeah, yeah, and therefore, you know, CEOs are reacting that way. You know, one of the things as I keep reminding people is that, you know, based on psychology, recessions can be created, right? So if these CEOs are all very negative and they stop hiring and they slow down capital investments, that could, you know, become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely. But I think a key thing, at least for the U.S., is the labor market. Right now, the labor market's hot. Most people are working. Most people are seeing wage increases. So if businesses realize that they don't necessarily have to slash labor and maybe just slow hiring, then we can potentially have a situation that's not as bad as maybe what CEOs are thinking, because consumers are a huge chunk of the economy. And as long as they're working and aren't feeling too morose, then they can help support growth. But again, we're starting to see confidence come off a little bit for consumers. So all this could fall together. And as I said, we're already forecasting a recession early next year and probably growth that's pretty close to being flat by the end of this year.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the last few recessions, whether it was the COVID recession or before that, the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, you did see pretty massive layoffs during that period of time. So this is different.
It is different because certainly we weren't already at full employment in the U.S. with the last recessions. Except for the pandemic, we were pretty close to full employment, if not at full employment, just before the recession happened. And again, the pandemic recession was governments, you know, around the world saying, look, we're going to shut down activity because there's this virus that's killing people. So that's why certainly the global economy bounced back pretty quickly once those restrictions were removed and people felt fairly comfortable with vaccines being available. So you know, you're right. Every recession is different. And certainly this next one that we're forecasting for the U.S. and maybe even for the global economy is coming from a position of strength.
You know, so, you know, inflation was already ticking up pretty high before the invasion of Ukraine. But obviously the Ukraine invasion has put an exclamation point on it, if nothing else. What are some of the economic impacts that CEOs are telling us that the invasion has created?
Well, number one, there are serious concerns about volatility in energy prices. That's the first and top concern that businesses have stated related to the war in Ukraine. And then after that, higher input costs. And those higher input costs reflect higher costs for energy, as well as higher costs for food and metals and semiconductors. All these things are being disrupted because of the war and causing elevated inflation. And then the third thing that, you know, really rose to the top after not really being an issue over the last few surveys was cybersecurity. Many companies are afraid that in response to their sanctions and their self-sanctioning on Russia, including closing businesses and not engaging with Russia directly, is that they're going to be hit with cyber attacks. And so many businesses are looking at that. And then the fourth and final thing I will mention in terms of big issues is that it's caused people to think about geopolitics more broadly. What does this mean between the U.S. and China? And certainly there's a concern that there's going to be rising tensions, just given the fact that China and Russia are now allied, and it also has implications for what China's relationship is going to be with respect to Taiwan.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that, because that is sort of a, you know, a looming risk, if nothing else, that is behind some of the CEO's comments. You know, what will happen, and will China be emboldened? And, you know, Taiwan's has such a large percentage of the world's semiconductor production. But, you know, just give us a little bit more color on that.
Absolutely, Steve. Well, if we put together those who are highly concerned and somewhat concerned, 83% of CEOs are concerned about the world being divided into competing blocks. And those two blocks would be the U.S. and its allies and China and its allies, forcing many multinationals to kind of choose sides or figure out, you know, what they're going to do. And with that, there will be domestic pressures in whatever in all the economies that they operate in to kind of figure out, well, what's the political nature of the political environment where they're operating and which side do they have to be on? And so this is a huge concern. And it's not just only economics and business, but also concerns about influence, both soft influence, as well as military issues, continued Cold War, worsening of a Cold War between the U.S. and China over technology and IP and all of these things. And as a business owner or business or CEO, that's all got to be disconcerting, because now you have to factor in geopolitics even more so into your business decisions.
It's really true. You know, having been a CEO for a long time, you know, through an era of the past couple of decades with relative geopolitical stability. Obviously, the Middle East wars were something, but you know, we're talking now big players when you're dealing with NATO, Russia, China, India, who have kind of thrown in with Russia and China on this thing. And I don't know, you know, I'm not sure that today's CEOs are accustomed to thinking about it or, you know, building their own models within their companies about it. But it really is something that needs to be, you know, if not a black swan, certainly gray swan events need to be probably baked into forecasts or contingency plans going forward.
Yes, absolutely. And indeed, the response for many businesses is to, you know, create policy arms within their companies to think about these things and to have relations, good relationships with policymakers within countries that they're working with. But one thing I did want to mention is that also many businesses are starting to focus on their actual operations. So, for example, making supply chains more resilient. And that resiliency is a reflection of certainly the disruptions of the pandemic and the war, but also thinking about industrial policies. And industrial policies are basically when governments tell businesses where they can situate their manufacturing and their supply chains. And so certainly this is going to be geopolitics and supply chains and manufacturing and even where you can have sales are all going to be impacting businesses going forward.
We've talked about the expectations of a recession and other economic impacts of the war in Ukraine. Next, we're going to explore some other long-term concerns of CEOs. We'll take a short break and be right back.
As war rages in Ukraine, the Conference Board is closely monitoring the situation and producing timely and relevant content on a daily basis that will help the business community navigate this global geopolitical unrest. What will the impact be on oil prices, food prices, our supply chain, and what about cybersecurity? How will this conflict impact the way your organization does business around the world, and how will you communicate this crisis to customers and employees? We're gathering the very latest content on our website. Just head to conference-board.org and find trusted insights to help you and your team lead with confidence.
Welcome back to CEO Perspectives. I'm your host, Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board, and I'm joined today by our chief economist, Dana Peterson. So Dana, we were talking before the break about all the worries and the projections of CEOs and, you know, certainly the possibility of regional, if not a global recession. So what actions are CEOs telling us that they're taking to react to this situation?
Sure, absolutely. As I mentioned, they are focusing on making their supply chains more resilient. They're also updating their risk and crisis management programs, which is actually pretty interesting, which means that businesses are thinking about, well, what happens if we need to pull out of another country or you know, what happens if we are affected by a cyber attack? Are we prepared to protect our customers and our business? Also, many CEOs are trying to address inflation. And depending on the region, I mean, at least globally, the first thing that they're doing is passing those prices downstream to consumers. We're definitely seeing that in the US. We're definitely seeing that in Europe. Not so much in China because of government policies that prevent that. But certainly around the world, that is what's happening.
And that passing along of the cost increases, their input cost increases is happening both in terms of, you know, how they're pricing goods to consumers, also surcharges. You know, you're seeing, you know, internet retailers add fuel surcharges, but there's also downsizing of packaging. So there's a lot of different tools that companies are using to essentially mitigate the increase, but they have to pass it along. You can't just there is some margin erosion on top of all of that. So it really is a difficult situation when you have inflation this high.
Absolutely. In fact, the second and third things that CEOs are doing to address inflation are cutting costs, but also absorbing the input price increases into their profit margin. So you're absolutely right. This is a margin hit for many businesses.
Now, you know, you talked earlier about labor because that's one place that CEOs have reacted and cut costs in the past. In this case, with shortages, 11 million in this country, at least 11 million job openings, but you see the same thing in other developed nations, and labor pricing, you know, still very, very high. It doesn't seem like that's a place that CEOs can go readily.
No, it's not. In fact, the number one thing that CEOs are doing, and this is 56% of those surveyed in our canvas, said that they're promoting hybrid work. So hybrid work, it's something that we've been saying, or remote work, is kind of here to stay in some format. I mean, certainly it's not as intense as it was during the pandemic, but businesses are considering that as a way to retain labor and attract labor. They're also moving more quickly to automate. That's the second thing that businesses are doing. And so that's quite significant. So that means that businesses are going to think about what do you do with existing labor that are going to be automated away, but also how do you make sure that your employees are learning the new technology and absorbing it and using that within the business production.
But automation needs to come pretty quickly because that is a capital investment and the cost of capital is going to go up.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's what many businesses are doing. They're moving more quickly and they're deploying digital transformation and innovation and automation as ways to address the severe labor shortages. And as you said, those shortages are pretty significant in the US, but also in Europe, and surprisingly in China as well.
Yeah, now, you know, what do you see in terms of, you know, any other kinds of labor supply increases? You know, are they, do you see increases in immigration and you know, are the, is the migration around the world helping that, or is it not helping it? How do you see it?
Well, the thing is that certainly in the US and Japan, you have very strict immigration laws. So it's not really helpful unless you have a change in policy. In Europe, the unfortunate fact of the war is that you've had roughly 5 million people displaced from Ukraine. Many of those people are being absorbed into the labor markets and the cultures of the economies that they're moving into within Europe. So that's certainly helpful. But in China, there's a huge issue in terms of many young people are not finding jobs because they've been trained to do one job, but the jobs that are needed are not as skilled as what they have. And so the solutions are not easy. A lot of it's about policy. Also, some of it is about being more flexible, absorbing more people into the labor market that you might not have considered before. There are a myriad of options for businesses, but a lot of it is also policy.
Yeah, and businesses and governments need to work closely together on this because it's these are really tricky things and it's different by area.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we talked about the, some of the short-term considerations and what businesses are doing, but what did the CEOs tell us about their long-term worries? What else are they thinking could come up here?
Well, a really big worry is, again, related to Ukraine and the war in Ukraine, is concerns that this could metastasize into a worse conflict. And that may not be short term, it could be over the medium term, but certainly the use of chemical or nuclear weapons, as I mentioned earlier, cyber attacks, or even Russia invading neighboring economies and drawing in NATO. Those are a number of big issues that, you know, can be, that can extend over the medium term. But I would imagine that, you know, going back to the division of the world into competing economic blocks, that's a long-term concern and affects everything from trade to manufacturing to where you place your people, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, and this whole notion of will the war spill over into NATO is sort of, everybody said, you know, that's probably not going to happen. But then just recently you hear that Lithuania, which is a NATO country, is trying to enforce EU policies and are blocking train shipments from Russia into Kaliningrad, which is that small piece of Russia that is situated in the Baltics. And then you wonder, okay, well, that, you know, if you start blockading those shipments, now what? Because that is an escalation in and of itself, but they're trying to, you know, Lithuania is trying to be a good NATO partner, but also a good EU citizen. And, you know, CEOs talked about the cyber, which, you know, okay, yeah, cyber, we're so sick of hearing about cyber, but what, 75% or round numbers of cyber attacks are coming from Russia. So that is a global attack here. And that is material. It's not just inconvenient disruption of service. I mean, it's theft of IP. It's destruction of the ability to do business. So all of this, so these things which were, you know, described as, you know, probably low probability and we got that under control, maybe not.
Maybe not indeed. And also I would add that Ukraine is being considered right now for entry into NATO. So if it's accepted, then we could potentially have this, this global conflict involving all the NATO economies, including the US.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hope that we don't, but that hope is not a strategy. And I think that's what the CEOs are telling us, that they really have to start thinking what before was largely unthinkable and trying to bake those into contingency plans so that they and their businesses are ready. So what did the CEOs tell us about the policies? You talked about government policy, and I know it's different EU, you know, to US to other areas, but what are some of the things that they told us that they need help with from a policy perspective?
Sure, absolutely. And these are not going to be surprising at all. The number one item that CEOs desired was lower taxes. After that, investing in things that help businesses to grow, for example, infrastructure or R&D, and then also reduce regulations. And so these are the top three items that I think businesses perennially ask their policymakers to address in order to facilitate stronger businesses and growth.
Yeah, and their argument on the lower taxes is not, you know, is really so that they can lower the cost of capital so that they can then, you know, get these capital investments to hurdle their, you know, their threshold and so they can make the investments. So, you know, if you put that into a giant macro model, you know, I don't know if there is one like this, but, you know, that should then make up for the difference. But, you know, the governments worry that, in fact, that it won't make up the difference. But I think, you know, when things are slowing like this, you know, it is something to consider. Regulation's the other thing, particularly on the energy side, right? I mean, you know, you've talked before about this, the energy transition, and, you know, we shouldn't give up our long-term goals, but there is a transition from the status quo to those goals. And there's a lot of money that needs to be invested between now and then. So those are real issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dana, any closing thoughts or any other items that we learned from the CEOs?
Well, I think the last thing I end on is what CEOs and businesses are doing for themselves, because you can't necessarily change policy or change or stop a war, things that are happening out external to you. But the top three things that businesses are doing to ensure growth going forward is digital transformation, also developing new lines of business, and also upskilling and retraining existing talent. And I think that's super, all these things are super important, especially focusing on talent. Again, given the fact that you have these severe labor shortages across large swaths of the world, making sure that you keep people and that your talent is updated on the newest trends, the newest technologies, and certainly helping them to, encouraging them to stay so that you don't have these disruptions in business from having this rapid turnover in labor.
Yeah, great points. You know, you don't expect to have so much airtime on human capital during an economic update, but that is what we're hearing from the CEOs, and it's true. It's an interesting time. Dana, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely, always great.
And thanks to all of you for listening in to CEO Perspectives. Every week, I'll be joined by a prominent thought leader to provide insights into the issues of our time. We'll cover leading topics in economics, geopolitics, human capital, environmental, social, and governance, marketing communications, and more. Please share CEO Perspectives with your colleagues and anyone who would be interested. I know that they would find insights for what's ahead. I'm Steve Odlin, and this series is brought to you by the Conference Board.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Conference Board, your source of trusted insights for what's ahead. For the latest insights to help guide your business through this time of geopolitical unrest, we have daily and relevant updates on our website at conference-board.org.